Beginning Monday, May 30th, 2016, the Climbing Higher telecast will air on WMCN-TV 44 on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available through Antenna Television, Comcast Cable, and Fios. Be sure to check your cable listings for WMCN-TV. The telecast is also available on WBPH-TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Start your day with an encouraging word from Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. with the Climbing Higher telecast of Bethel Deliverance International Church, the church where miracles still happen.
If you believe God for a miracle and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
John's gospel of the four gospels is the most loving. Matthew deals with genealogy, and the genealogy is to validate Christ's lineage. Because the Jews didn't pay any attention to you if you didn't have substantive family. This is identified by the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians when he begins to lay out his resume. I'm the Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin Council. I was born of the house of Judah, of the stock of Benjamin. I am somebody special. Then he quickly says, but I'm willing to lose it all so I can know Christ. But he still validates the claim that the Jews put no credibility in you unless you had a lineage that could be traced. And so Matthew, seeking to help the Jewish concern, begins to give Jesus's lineage. He traces him all the way back as far as he can. Luke does the same, traces him all the way back to Adam, so that you'll know that Jesus just didn't spring up without any connections. And then Matthew spends time teaching the mixture of two kingdoms. The Bible identifies both kingdoms in different phrases. One is the kingdom of God and the other is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus talks about both of these kingdoms. They are not interchangeable. One cannot be substituted for the other. For Jesus, whenever he performed a miracle, he said, the kingdom of God has come upon you. But then he would talk about the kingdom of heaven. And in essence, what he was saying is, wherever the kingdom of God is functioning, then the kingdom of heaven is within your grasp. Heaven becomes the result of the acceptance of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God does not come by observation, but the kingdom of heaven did. And so when we talked about the kingdom concept in Matthew, you find his truths are there to represent how God's kingdom should work here. And wherever Jesus was, that was heaven. Amen. Wherever he is, that's heaven. But it's not the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is where he is. We beheld his glory. How does he behold his glory? Every time Jesus did a miracle, that was the glory coming out. Do you know that a miracle is the result of the presence of God's glory? The reason we don't see a lot of miracles is because we don't sit in the glory. That's why Bethel says, show us your glory. Once the glory shows up, the miracle takes place automatically. It's already there. So, brothers and sisters, if you understand that basic principle, then what is it that we are to seek? The miracle or the glory? So we're a place where miracles still happen because... Now, how does the glory get here? By the praise that goes on before the service. Lord, listen, the prayer that we used to do, that season is over. It's over for those quiet, contemplative prayers. Those prayers represented us walking around Jericho. You remember? They were told to walk around once a day, quiet. That's prayer. But on the seventh day, they walked around quiet for seven times. That's complete prayer. And once they finished that prayer, they were to let out a praise. Are you with me? Well, Bethel, we have walked around Jordan seven times. Now it's time to give the shout. The shout releases the glory. The glory tears down the walls. The walls come down. We can walk into the city. Nah. So, we don't want God to give us stuff. Lord, if you just hear me. When you walk into a situation where sickness is dominant and needs are present and problems are abundant, I submit to you that you should not ask God to solve the problem, meet the need, or heal the sickness. I submit to you that you go into jubilant praise to get the presence of God in that situation. Once His presence is there, everything will fall in line, because when He shows up, everybody else has to get out. When the church understands that we've spent a long time in Jericho walking, now it's time for Jericho praise. Those walls are still up. You've been praying and praying and praying, but those walls are still up. I'm telling you, your Ecclesiastes 3 season has come. It's time to change your strategy. The devil heard your prayer. He knows your prayer. It's time to break free. It's time to give God some praise. It's time to open your mouth and let it out. It's time to do what the dish detergent says, shout about it. It's time to let God know that I need you to move by your spirit. And the only way your spirit is going to move is when I put out a seed of praise, for you inhabit the praise of your people. The first attack of the devil is to steal your praise. That's what he does first. He don't care about your Bible reading. He don't care about your praying. He knows if I steal your praise, you won't have a desire to read your Bible. You won't even want to pray. So saints, fight for your praise. Praise him when you don't feel like it. Praise him when it's bubbling inside of you. Praise him when you got a headache. Praise him when your back hurts. Praise him out of your mouth. Praise him with the clapping of the hands. Praise him with the stomping of the feet. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You ought to have an instrument in your house. If you don't have an instrument, get some spoons and click them together. But make a joyful noise unto the Lord. If you remember the passage where it says David having gone to go out and engage the enemy, he came back to Ziklag and he found the city was burned and his wives and the children were taken prisoner and the people wanted to kill him. But the text says that David encouraged himself. It doesn't tell us how he encouraged. So some things you have to become Columbo and figure it out. If you want to know how David encouraged himself, all you need to do is pick up the Psalms. Because all that man ever did was bless the Lord. I can see David sitting down listening to the church members begin to put him down and say how no good he is. He began to say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. They said, David, you led us out to defeat. He said, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who heals all of my diseases, who forgives all of my iniquities. After he got himself encouraged,
Then he went back to God and said, should I go after them? God said, go after them, overtake them, and you shall recover all. But God couldn't send him after the enemy until he got his spirit lifted in praise. The reason why some of you are still being beat up by the devil is because you've forgotten how to praise God. But I submit to you that if you give God praise, if you begin to praise him like you lost your mind, God will say, now go after the devil. Get your healing back. Get your children back. Get your job back. Get your blessings back. So John tries to paint this picture of a Jesus who responds to the glory. Last week, the Lord said to me, you have a worship service. He said, I don't want any preaching. He said, and you tell the whole fellowship to come to the house of God, Bethel, and there praise me. I said, God, you know we can't have a service like that without some preaching. He said, I'll preach. You just get them in here to praise me. Let the choir sing, let the singers sing, let the stringed instruments play, but you just get them in there. He said, when you get them in there, I'm going to bust through the walls. John tries to paint this picture. We beheld his glory. And then John tells a story about Jesus that rivals any of the great literary records that we have in our culture. John's writings are not boring like Luke's. His writings are not laborious like Matthew's. They have order more than Mark's, but they portray God in Christ. You see, John teaches us that Jesus' fundamental purpose was to reveal God to us. When Jesus walked on the water, he was showing you God's even in control of his creation. When he multiplied the fishes and the loaves, he was showing you that God is concerned about you and he won't let any obstacle stand in his way when it's time to meet your need. When he cleansed the leper, he was showing you that God doesn't care how dirty you are. If everybody else turns their back on you, God will still touch you. Oh, my God. When he went down to the pool and the one man was sitting there that had been there 38 years, Jesus was saying, God hasn't forgotten you. No matter how long you've been in that situation, he will send deliverance to you. And when he hung on that cross, he was saying, God wants you with him. All Jesus did was reveal God to us. The greatest enigma in the universe is God. You can't figure him out.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
03116P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.